The answer hasn't changed. Could you remind me of the answer, Roger?
Apart from performance.
Yes.
Yes, Andrew, and I hope you write this one
okay,
down.
I'm so going to write it. I've got my pen. Roger.
And it is writing, Roger.
Yes.
Because we're using up some time that could be used on another topic. But Mr. Powell has performed very well. I think he was the leading run scorer in the Super 50 competition, but he's yet to make the fitness standard.
Oh.
You'll remember that players were left out of the team.
Right.
For the same reason. So, you know, the players that we've selected on this squad have all met the fitness standard. Mm. You see that Evan Lewis declined the invitation. He too is now available for selection.
Oh, I see. Roger,
I want to comment a little bit on something that Jason
said. Sure, Roger.
And talking about performance, right? And one of the things I would really like to encourage and develop is a performance culture where our players not just think that one innings can get you into a team, right? Or if we're doing a little better than someone else, we'll get into a team. But we must set ourselves standards, you know, and I think that's one of the challenges that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Players are a little content to just do better than somebody else because that will get us into the team rather than saying that, oh, but you see that getting into the team, but you wouldn't help us to win matches, wouldn't help us to, you know, to really become a world-class teammate. I think our players have to aspire to be world-class players. And the only way you do that is if, firstly, in our regional competitions, we can have really high performances and high standards and high averages. So it means you're speaking to consistency, right? And you take that sort of confidence and consistency to the next level, you know? We would really like to see, I mean, Australia used to speak about if you want to play state cricket, you should be average above 65 in grade cricket, right, to be considered. And if you want to play test cricket, you should be averaging around 55 in state cricket, right? So, and it might not necessarily be over a career, might be over a period of time, right? But if you look at a lot of the top players, their averages are in the high 40s to 50s in first-class cricket. And our players have got to understand that that is what we have to be aiming for. And developing that sort of consistency and developing that sort of attitude of high performance and desire to become a world-class player and taking that to the next level.
I'd like to pose a question to Jason in that same regard, because I always wonder, Jason, when players of this era, of your era, are you ever mindful of the achievements of previous eras? Because there are many different opinions about it, that many people say you can't burden players like yourself with players of the past. But then when we remind ourselves that our players of previous eras comfortably average over 40, average 50 in test cricket, dominated the regional game. Do you as a player of the modern era see that as something that is a motivating factor? Is it too much in the past for you to take that on as part of your own development as a cricketer? Is that valid for you, Jason?
Yeah, it's a very valid point. I think the past is always important. So if we go back in the past and, as you said, look at those players who've done very well on average, high 40s or even 50s, I don't think it's a problem to go back to the past. I think the past is a very important thing, and that's a great point that you make. And as the chairman now said, that's where he wants the players, in the direction he wants them to go. So as I said before, the main thing is being consistent and trying to get that average up and trying to get your total high at the end of the season.
Roger says he's optimistic about the campaign, but we all know it's going to be a challenge. We look at the way the West Indies team would have performed of late. It's not particularly encouraging. What do you think you're going to bring to the team as captain? Because you seem to be an emergency captain in a situation like this in Pakistan a couple of years ago when you had that situation with some players not choosing to go. What do you think you can bring to the team as captain in a situation like this?
I think just trying to get that positive intent within everybody and you know, trying to get the idea that we, you know, we can win. Obviously, as you said, our team has not been too well. So obviously it's a challenge for our young players and myself, as you said, to lead this team. What I can bring to the team is just for us to stay calm in situations. I think sometimes that's one of the most things that, you know, get us in trouble situation. Speaking for myself as a bit of an experienced player, you know, when we start to overtake the situation and we don't stay calm in certain situation in terms of bowling the right areas or shot selections at a certain point in time. So I think just bringing some calmness towards the team, I think, you know, it's a lot being said about the team going. I don't think it will be a lot of pressure on us as players, because at the end of the day, we're going to represent the West Indies. So we still have a job to do, and that's the main thing I'm going to be bringing to this team. Let's just stay calm. Let's play some good cricket. Let's try and be consistent within the 50 over, whether we bat or bowl, and let the result take care of itself.
Roger, if I may ask you, you talked about being optimistic, but at the risk of sounding pessimistic, the signs aren't all that encouraging. And I'm always mindful of the fact that if I were a weather forecaster and I saw a storm coming and I said, you know, let's be positive about it, the storm is not going to reach, I'll probably be fired. But if you're looking at performance, if you're looking at the way we stand, it is going to be a challenge. And the reason I pose the question that way, Roger, is that I'm asking it in the context of the New Zealand campaign, where losing two test matches by an innings, by no stretch of the imagination, can be described in anywhere close to satisfactory. And therefore, from a point of view of a selector, the head of the selection panel, what do you do in the aftermath of a campaign like that as far as moving forward?
First of all, Fazil, let me deal with the storm. You see, I might be worried about the storm. It might blow in my house, but I might have a big field of field with some crops behind that hasn't had water for a while. And if that crop gets the water, I might be able to make enough money to buy a new house. It depends on how you look at it. Right? It depends on how you look. And this is
well
exactly
done, Roger.
So, and I think Jason has got the right approach. You know, yes. I think if they go there and think that, you know, well, listen, we got nothing to lose. If we stick together, right? We stick together. That's one of the things. Stick together, play for each other. Keep calm, as Jason is saying. And play smart cricket in every area, then I think they have a good chance. And there's always the possibility, which could work in our favor as well, of being underrated.
But Roger, at the risk of sounding, go ahead, make your point. Go ahead.
Of being underrated, so that could work in our favor. Now, pertaining to New Zealand, Fazir, right? We lost two test matches, but in effect, I look at that second test match in particular, and from my perspective, that test match was a lot closer than it ended up being. And I say this, why? Because we dropped 7 catches, or 9 catches in one innings of a test match, right? And really and truly, if you drop those catches in a series, you should be very disappointed. But to drop that in one innings, you know, the batsman that made 100 and Nichols that made 170-odd was dropped 4 times before he reached 50. So, in effect, I'm thinking New Zealand could have been bowled out for like 230 in a different test match. So, I think we have opportunities there. And I think with a little more focus and application, we can do a lot better. Right? And I am saying here, again, these are new players. These are guys who don't have the experience. But I think that we'll get a lot of application from them, because I think there's the desire. I've watched an Nkuma Bonner, for example, on tour. I've watched Jason De Silva. And you saw how well Jason acquitted himself when he got his opportunity, right? And I think these guys are chomping at the bit, and there'll be a few more like them, right? So there may be a few nerves around, but I'm sure that the backroom staff will work to get them prepared and give them that belief, and they'll have time to practice and get a feel of Bangladesh conditions. And I expect these guys to be competitive. I'm not just saying this because it's something to say, but I really do.
Well, I find it difficult to believe, Roger, that you could actually justify what you're saying, because at the end of the day, the West Indies played 5 test matches, lost 4. If you're talking about those drop catches, could I put it to you that all it means is that rather than losing by an innings, we'd have lost by 8 wickets or something along that line. I recall you making the point after we lost the last two test matches in England. You talked about the West Indies having their best batting partnerships for a number of series. And it sounds, Roger, with the greatest of respect, that it's just PR, just making excuses for continuous poor performances.
Mm. No, me saying that they've had the best batting partnerships for a number of series is a fact. It's not an excuse. I didn't tell you why they didn't have more partnerships. I told you what happened. So that's a fact. That's a statistic.
Really?
Right? Now, you know, Fazir, I can't control what you believe or don't believe.
No, Roger. It's not about belief. No, hold on right there, Roger. No, it's not. No, Roger. No.
I'm speaking now.
Okay, go right ahead. You go ahead.
I can't control what you believe and what you say. I tell you what I feel and what I think, right? Mm. Whether you think it's far-fetched or not, I don't know. But I have confidence that these guys will give a good account of themselves.
Mm. Oh boy!
Fair enough. Is it before Doc comes in? I'm just simply trying to establish, Roger, and it's not about being argumentative. I am convinced that part of the problem in West Indies cricket is that we don't own up to the stark realities of the standards of West Indies cricket. Are we willing to accept that, Roger? Are we willing to accept that we are at a level now that is the lowest that we've ever been? And that's the point I'm trying to make. It's not about being negative. It's about accepting reality. We seem to be preoccupied with, you talked about the storm coming in might water the field. To me, that is classic spin, because it is an unwillingness to accept reality. And if we're not going to accept the realities of West Indies cricket, how do we hope to fix it?
Fazir, you know, again, right? Like I said, every adversity presents an opportunity. Right? And you told me that if a storm is coming, and what if I just told you what opportunity that storm may present? That is all I told you, not perfect spin. Before we went to England, I said that our greatest challenge will be for our batting to perform, right? Our bowling has been, you know, creating chances, doing a good job on a consistent basis, but we need to be able to put numbers on the board. I did not deny the fact that we didn't score runs. I did not deny the fact that our batting was below par. What I said in terms of a positive was what I said about the partnerships. That's it. What we can take forward. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to brush over or hide the fact that our batting wasn't up to par, and far from it. If we're going to move forward, Fazi, you heard me speaking about standards. You heard me speaking and talking about performances at first-class level. So how can you then dare to say that I am ignoring, you know, where we are?
Because I don't want to persist, because I know Doc probably wants to ask a question, and I know Jason is waiting patiently for a few questions to be asked of him. I find it difficult to understand how we can continue going into every series talking about being positive and being optimistic, when all the evidence suggests that it's going to be a struggle.
Mm. All right. We'll,
everybody sees things differently.
Mm. We're gonna pause for business, because when we come back, of course, we want to turn our attention to young Muhammad, looking very fit. I know he's been running around the Queen's Park over there in Trinidad. He certainly should take Fazir and Philo Wallace as well. Philo certainly needs it. But it's good to have you on the program. Of course, lead selector Roger Harper, top journalist, who's having a cup of coffee. Is that tea you have in there, Fazir Muhammad? And of course, Jason Muhammad.
It's tea, Andrew.
Jason Muhammad looking very, very relaxed there. And of course, Dr. Ford there in his study. Mason and Guest is brought to the association with our very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting new sport and culture.
Scratch your ticket, scratch and you could win it. Plenty lottery games to win. Scratch, are you for win something? So run and get your ticket. Scratch, scratch and you could win it. Over 120,000 in cash. Scratch, Barbados Lottery. Scratch, so run and get your ticket. Scratch, scratch and you could win it. Over 120,000 in cash. Scratch, Barbados Lottery. Scratch. It's time to scratch your ticket. Scratch and you could win it. It's time to scratch your ticket. Scratch, Barbados Lottery.
All right. right. This is Mason and guest. I'm Andrew Mason, along with co-host Dr. Andrew Ford. We've got on Zoom the lead selector, Roger Harper. We've also got Fazer Mohammed, noted journalist, and the captain of the West Indies ODI squad will be going to Bangladesh, Jason Mohammed. Jason, you're looking for pretty fit there as well. Have you been keeping fit in COVID?
Yeah, I've been doing some fitness work, so fitness is pretty good at this time.
Mm-hmm, indeed. And
do you have any concerns, Jason? Because, you know, there's been a lot of speculation about living life in the bubble, mm-hmm. and the concerns about COVID-19 in Bangladesh, for example, which quite clearly would be one of the reasons why some of the prominent players have been left out. Is that a worry for you at all when you're in a campaign like this?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a worry. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit concerning, as in Trinidad we has the COVID as well. But I think that as we protect ourselves and we try and follow the protocols, we should be okay. I mean, we had a Zoom meeting before with, obviously, guys, people from the CWI, and the things that they spoke about that they're putting in place, you know, for in terms of travel and in terms of when we're going to be in Bangladesh, you know, everything sounds good. So, I mean, I think we're going to be in good hands, and once we follow the protocols, I think we'll be okay.
When are you leaving to go to Bangladesh? When exactly are you leaving?
I haven't been given an exact date as yet, but I think it's sometime early in January.
Roger, when is the team leaving? And are you going to Bangladesh, Roger? I know you made it to New Zealand.
I think it should be on the 8th.
On the 8th. And are you going to Bangladesh, Roger?
That's unlikely. You already have a very big party going. I think this time we'll be taking the psychologist.
Ooh.
And a doctor as well, and a security officer. So it's already along with the two squads. So it will be a very big party.
Okay, so you're not making it. All right. Just before Dr. Ford comes in, was there any consideration at all? I know there may be a contractual obligation in relation, given the fact that a lot of these players cancelled the big guns to actually cancel the tour. Roger, are you aware of that?
That question is directed at the wrong person. Those decisions are not for me to take.
Oh, I see.
Have to ask either.
Okay, well, Dr. Kishore Shallow is supposed to join us later on, the Vice President. Dr. Ford? Doctor?
Hi. I understand where Fazer was going earlier, and it has to do with being realistic. A team that averages 26 in tests for partnerships that only Ireland is worse than. And before a series, you hear optimistic projections from the various captains, also from the selection group, and maybe from the bowling coach and the coach, and then we get on tour and we lose a match, and then you hear about when the series is over, playing for pride and going back to the drawing board. It's a cycle of futility and failure, which you know, I know that the guys are trying their best, but that's the reality, and I think Fazer is picking up on that. And I think Fazer, what you are asking for is a more measured and realistic mouthings from mm-hmm. all of the figureheads within the Cricket West Indies that really states what our chances are and what we have to do to get better. But after that bit of a statement, I like to go to Jason. And Jason, as a guy who's been in the system for a long time, you've been trying your best. What are the big limiting factors that prevents a guy who's had as much experience as you've had, played as much cricket over the years as you've had, what are the limiting factors that have prevented you from becoming the world-class player that you'd really like to be?
There's not much things. Obviously, the main factor, again, coming back to what I've been saying before, is being consistent. As I said before, I've been decent, but I think to move to that different level, to get to that different level of being test cricket, or as you said, to become a world-class player, you have to become more consistent, as the great Steve Smith or Coley at the modern games. If they play 5 matches, guaranteeing 4 matches, they are going to perform. Whereas if you look at a guy like myself, maybe in 5 matches, I might perform twice. So that's the main thing for me, just being consistent. And once you get a start, is try to get the big scores. Conversion is something very important. That's why Cooley is obviously the best right now. His conversion rate is excellent, rather than a guy scoring 50, you know, and getting out.
In that sense, Jason, is it about hunger? Is it about fitness? Is it about concentration? Is it something that maybe Roger alluded to, that it's good enough just to be ahead of the next challenger? What do you think is the reason why? Because as we said before, we see all our players, we see the talent. We see the phenomenal talent of our players. And what do you think is keeping us back, keeping individuals like yourself back from reaching that level of consistency of a Kane Williamson, of a Steve Smith, of a Virat Kohli? And is it about, as I said, is it concentration? Is it fitness? What do you think it is?
I think it's a combination of all those things that you said. Sometimes there's a lack of concentration within a ball or two, you're out. Sometimes it's a little bit of a fatigue, you're out. So it's a combination of everything that you said. I don't think the hunger will be a factor of one of those, because that's something that is always burning within myself, or I think every cricketer going around the Caribbean.
Yeah. All right. Just before you go, Roger's going to leave us very soon. I know he's preparing for that big Olay's night party. Roger, I know that you're a big party man, Roger, and I understand that you're going to have some pepper pot. Invite Fazer Mohammed and let him have some coffee as well. I know you're actually doing that preparation. But just before you go, Roger, what do you have to say to the people of the Caribbean as lead selector? The people in the Caribbean, they're hurting. We're now off to Bangladesh. What do you have to say to our people, Roger Harper, before you go?
As I said, Andrew, I think that, you know, considering all that's transpired, we still managed to put together competitive squads in each format. And I expect, Fazir, that these guys will go out there and do their best, be very competitive. And I am very optimistic.
Okay? Optimistic.
Very optimistic. Yes.
Well,
yes.
I want to...
I expect these guys to play with passion. I expect them to play
passion.
With purpose.
Right.
And I expect them with a lot of passion.
Wonderful.
With a lot of purpose. And I expect them to look forward to showcasing their skills and trying to prove that they belong at that level.
Well, Roger, I want to thank you very much indeed for coming through and talking to us. It's always good to hear from you. Happy, happy New Year to you. And we wish the West Indies all the best as they go forward and as they play in Bangladesh. Thanks and have a good evening, Roger Harper.
Thank you very much.
All right. So there you have it.
Thank you very much.
Right.
That should be your prayers for the West Indies team. Thank you
Roger.
Very much.
Roger.
Right. All right.
Roger, competitive means being as good or better than others in a comparable event. I leave that definition of competitive
right
as we depart.
As we depart, right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dr. Ford.
All right. Well, thanks to you. Thanks to you. All the best, indeed. Wonderful. All right. Well, we got Jason Mohammed still with us. Jason, I know you're going to maybe leave us pretty soon. I know you're getting ready to maybe have some exercise and get ready for that big tour of Bangladesh. Gentlemen, any other questions for Jason? Looking as fit as ever.
I suppose, Jason, when you carry the responsibility of being a captain, whether it's when you were captaining Trinidad and Tobago at age group level or senior national level, it's a different situation from captaining the West Indies. Because, I mean, you've been around the region enough to know that you're never going to please everyone. In fact, you hardly please anyone when you're a captain of a West Indies team. Does that play on your mind as someone going into a campaign like this where people are saying, well, boy, so-and-so is not here, this one is not here, that one is not here, and that sort of thing? Does that play in your mind as captain?
Not as much. I can't say it doesn't run through my mind, because as you said, there are a lot of people saying this guy's not here, this guy, you know, we can't do anything without those guys. And you'll have the public saying, well, why is he captain or why is this team going? It's something that obviously will run through your mind. But I think in the years gone by, myself as a player has received a lot of that, so too much of the cricketers. So it's something that, honestly, it doesn't really bother me, but I can't say it doesn't run through my mind off and on.
And when you look at all these situations, Jason, with the, and you obviously would have listened to the discussion between myself and Roger. And okay, it might have gotten a bit heated, but it's about recognizing the reality. Do you feel that sort of pressure that, look, you know, people will always compare this era with the previous eras, not just the 80s, but the 70s, the 60s, the 50s, and so on. Do you feel that pressure at all that, look, I need to step up. I need at some point to respond to all these critics and shut them up basically by performing?
Yeah, sometimes it is. Obviously, we'll always go back to that because seeing as a team or as players, we have not done as well. We have not been as consistent as the guys who have played in the past. So it will always seem that way. I guess if guys was performing as well as those past players, it might have not been a topic as often as it is. So I think, yeah, it's something that is always going to be said.
Mm-hmm. All right. Stay with us, Jason. We're going to have you for a couple of minutes. Of course, we got Philo Wallace who's just joined us. We also want to get some reaction from around the Caribbean. Let's go to Jamaica and talk to Easton McMorris, of course, well-known across the world as an ambassador. Hello to you, Easton McMorris. How are you? Mr. McMorris, is he with us? Hello, Easton. How are you, my friend? Easton McMorris. All right, we're going to try to reach him. So while we get our friend from the land of wood and water, let's go to Philo. Is he there? Let's just double checking to see if Easton is with us. All right, we're just double checking. Okay, we make that call. Philo Alfonso Wallace. Philo, nice to see you. You seem to have lost some weight. You didn't eat too much for Christmas, did you, Philo? We're not hearing you, Philo. Come on, let's. We're not hearing you. Philo, are you hearing me, Philo?
You're hearing me now, Andrew.
I'm hearing you loud and clear, and the question remains.
You're like, yes, the question remains, and the answer will be, Andrew, in the situation that we're in here in England, there isn't a lot of eating. It's called control.
It's control.
You're locked down in tier four. Mm. There's a lot you can do, Andrew. You have to be very careful, and this COVID is rampant.
Oh,
so obviously one has to be very, very careful how one eats and what you do and stuff like that. So I'm not eating as much. Mm. You know, the pubs are closed, so there's no libations to have. So it's strictly water.
Yes, I can see that, and a good brand as well. Yes, it's that brand. I think.
Yeah, we always look to AM High.
Yeah,
indeed. We always look to AM High.
When I saw it, just I think it's come from Trinidad and Tobago. Somewhere up in the country.
But that's another high place too.
Another high place.
Fans here will know there's a lot of high sense, and Jason Mohammed is now move up another notch.
Yes. And of course, you would want to congratulate Jason Mohammed in relation to this high office, Philo.